When it comes to breakfast, bacon is the order of the day, or at least the side order. Bacon is now processed and even pre-cooked in factories where things move along crisply. They start with a load of pork bellies. They toss them around in a big tumbler, and the action softens them so it will be easier to remove the skins.
That looks delicious. Oh,
Jesus, that's gross.
They place each pork belly skin side down on a conveyor belt.
There's a rabbi there sorting out the pork.
Kosher, not kosher.
Oh, man, don't film me, no. To a long automated blade. Frimmers won't like it.
The skin away from the meat. The skins drop onto another conveyor belt. They're on their way to being processed into pork rinds, a snack food.
Do you think they're gonna throw the old pig skin around a bit?
No, that was terrible. Thank God I've never eaten any pork rinds.
They're like just little fried bits of cholesterol. They're like a heart attack in a packet.
Can trim off any remaining pieces of skin. Next, they add liquid smoke and other flavorings to the curing solution.
What the bloody hell is liquid smoke?
It's smoke in liquid form.
Why, that sounds delicious.
And 100% natural, no doubt.
It's equipped with numerous needles that repeatedly inject the curing solution into each pork belly.
Oh, ow. Ugh. Do you mind getting your arm trapped in that thing?
They press the prongs of a metal hanger called a comb into the pork bellies and hang them on a rack.
This is like your country's biggest export, isn't it?
Let's hope not.
Then it's into the drench cabinet for a shower in liquid smoke. As liquid smoke bombards the meat, it adds flavor and color to the surface.
This film is brought to you by Vegetarians of Canada. Now see what you're eating, you heathens.
They transfer the pork bellies into a big oven. They spend about 5 hours in here cooking at a low temperature, which allows the flavoring to permeate the meat. The pork bellies head to a sizing station, where knives trim all sides. They also pass under a metal detector here.
Just in case pork bellies are hiding guns.
Oh, look, a nickel!
After that, they stack and wrap the pork bellies and store them in a freezer until they're ready to slice them into bacon.
Who'd have thought that capturing local intel was so complex?
Welcome to the Warp Drive Active podcast. Eve Online's, well, it's the oldest of the current batch of podcasts. I'm Urban Mongrel, I am the British guy, and I'm joined, as always, by His Majesty himself, King Winterblink of Space.
Oh, for the love of God.
Every week I have to promote you, dude. You know that.
Oh, my God. Just leave me at Grand Poobah or something. We'll go with that. But oldest? I would say most veteran.
No, no, we're all doddering old blokes with, like, walking sticks and Zimmer frames and grey hair. We go, when I was a lad, I remember when there was that here but Gangeddons.
Oh, man. I suppose that is true. You've been around. You've been around, actually, since beta, right? Or did you start up after the game launched?
And I was around in beta, so were you.
Yeah, okay, so, cool. Okay,
I've had a few holidays in the meantime, I must admit. Yeah. Important things in life happened, but yeah, I've been in and out of Eve for a long time now, and I've been playing fairly solidly for 2 years now, which is pretty good.
Oh yeah, yeah, no, definitely. I'm eating a Slurpee, by the way, so if anyone hears Slurpee-related noises, that's what that would be. Also, if my tongue freezes up, I'll probably start talking really funny.
Yeah, that never happens.
Just FYI. Alright, so, but how's your week been?
Well, regular listeners, you know, you're probably going to be absolutely shocked by it. It's going to stun you. But nothing really bad's happened to me this week. It's all been pretty fine, really. You know what I mean? Working sensible hours, haven't been attacked by bees, haven't thrown anything in toilets. The weather was quite nice today, so I went for a long bike ride and didn't fall off or anything. It's just been nice. In terms of Eve, we've My corp and I, we moved back into Empire Space, basically because Curse was getting a bit too hot, actually. And the other thing is we're all waiting for GTA, which is out on the 29th, GTA 4. So we thought, well, yeah, let's not leave all our stuff in 00. Let's get back to Empire, you know, because we don't know quite who's going to be playing that and just addicted to it for months. So we went back and, yeah, all the things people say about Empire are absolutely true. It's laggy, and people in it are really, really dumb.
Yeah, Empire is not exactly my favorite area of space either. But, yeah, it's good to hear that you didn't have any kind of tragic moments this week, though, because you were kind of... you were betting 1,000 there for a while.
Yeah, pretty much. But, yeah, I'll tell you one thing, something about Empire, though, because I've been just ratting, basically, trying to get my sec rating up so I can go into better bits of Empire, or at least higher sec rating Empire. And, seriously, if you're in Empire, you're not safe. If you're in a belt mining, pay attention, because if I show up and I see you not paying attention, out of sort of Darwinian survival of the fittest, I'd have to blow you up and pod you. I'm sorry, it's the law. If you're not paying attention when a guy with a minus 8.5 sec rating shows up, you know, you deserve everything coming to you, frankly. And that's why my sec rating really isn't getting much better, despite all the ratting I'm doing. So, yeah, God's sake, yeah. People are dumb in Empire. Pay attention. Seriously. Get help.
For the sake of Urban's security rating, just come on. Start watching your local.
Run away or threaten me or do something. Seriously. You know, don't just... You know, I'm in a dummy. I'm not going to be moving terribly fast. I haven't exactly got a lot of range. No, you're not... I'm not going to be able to lock you very fast either. So, you know, seriously, it's not going to be that much of a problem getting away if it's just me on my own, so long as you're paying attention.
Yeah, it's amazing in low sec how much that that kind of thing you see, though. People just kind of sitting there minding their own business. You know, people might say they're, you know, perhaps macro mining or something, but apparently the macro miners are getting more challenging. I was reading a couple threads there on the general discussion this week about some of the macro miners are fighting back. Apparently, either their macros are getting smarter or they are. But, yeah, apparently some people are having a hell of a time actually killing some of these guys, which is kind of humorous. They're no longer just cloaking and, you know, control queuing. They're actually, like, you know, actually fighting and winning some battles. So that's kind of interesting.
Fair enough, then. Mining barge winning battles. I'd like to see that.
I'm not talking about the mining barge, but, you know, I'm talking about, like, a raven or something.
Well, ravens are better at battling than they used to be, aren't they, since they brought the talk changes in? But anyway, I digress. This is a big sidetrack. How was your week, sir?
Oh, it was not too bad. Well, actually, it did kind of suck in some ways. I guess I inherited that element of your, you know, previous weeks.
The universe is in balance.
Yes, indeed. But, you know, we were having a pretty good stretch with weather, and all of a sudden some really crazy weather system hit in this area, and there was, like, piles and piles of snow. Like, some areas, one province over, got, was it 50 centimeters of snow in the span of a day, which is a lot to fall in the span of a day. So it was kind of a mess. Everyone, I mean, there are people who had put their summer tires on, you know, and, you know, for those who maybe live in warmer climates aren't aware that, you know, there are several different kinds of tires you can put on your car, one of them being winter tires. Yeah, you don't usually drive on dry pavement with them, so people switched off to their summer tires, and then we're having all sorts of accidents because, you know, you can't really drive on snow with summer tires, so it was quite amusing. But yeah, so I shoveled snow a couple times, which was annoying, especially when, like, literally days before we were at 24 degrees above zero Celsius, which was pretty amazing actually for an April. But yeah, then 2 days later we're at minus 14 and, you know, waist deep in snow drifts and stuff like that. It's just crazy. So that kind of sucked.
Yeah. Canadian weather. Isn't it great?
It's always more than a little bit unpredictable. But EVE-wise, actually, I've been playing around, oddly enough, in Empire. Although trying very hard not to be one of the dumb ones, as you say. But, yeah, laggy. Annoyingly laggy in a lot of cases. I actually ended up, coming back to Empires to do some missioning for a little while, because I don't know, just the amount of time I've had to put into Eve Empire sort of mission running has been a little bit more compatible with my time. So other news for me though in Eve, I've been doing a bunch of mission running, actually, oddly enough, with a brand new little toy of mine. I managed to pick myself up a Kronos, which is the Tech 2 battleship for the Megathron of the Marauder class. Very fun, very, very fun ship. Kind of ridiculous, actually, in terms of the kind of damage you get out of these things. Have you had a chance to play with them?
I haven't. I've seen the numbers. They did nerf it a little bit. Because wasn't it Kroven saying this is actually putting out more damage than a carrier at one stage? But they have nerfed it a little bit, but it's still pretty damn impressive. And of course, that huge cargo hold, tons of ammo, tons of cap charges.
Yeah, basically, it's perfect for mission running. The tank on it is absolutely obscene. Well, just to give an example of the kind of damage I was doing, I mean, this is obviously, you know, a static, not moving thing, but it was a Serpentis Tower Sentry or whatever, but for 1570 damage, one shot from a 425 railgun to with just plain antimatter L. That's kind of nuts. And not.
That is obscene.
And not necessarily unusual. If I look back at my combat logs, getting over 1,000 damage per gun was actually not unusual by any means, which was blowing my mind. Like, even against ships. I mean, battleships, obviously you're not going to hit a frigate for that much, but it is actually humorous when you catch cruisers at a, you know, perfect range, and you can actually, I'm like volleying cruisers, like four shots. Of course, it's only got four high slots for turrets, and yeah, poof, where the hell did that cruiser go? Well, just melted it. So it's a lot of fun. It's extremely expensive, but it's less now than I initially looked at them way back when. I mean, I think I picked mine up at, oddly enough, in Jita for 650 million ISK. So which is not too bad, actually.
Yeah, it's not too bad because I've got a billion coming my way.
Nice.
I'm not going to tell you what I did exactly. I made a bet with somebody, and it turns out I won.
But yeah, no, I mean, honestly, the cost of that will come back fairly quickly, especially doing level 4 missions and stuff like that. But yeah, neat ship. It's got all this gold plating and stuff on the armor and everything. It's pretty, pretty, pretty. But yeah, pretty fun ship. Been having fun with it, actually, so far in missions. And, you know, it's missions. But yeah, that's pretty much the extent of my Eve week so far, playing my little missioning game, which the only reason I've been doing that is because of the time I've had this week to spend on Eve. This has been the most compatible with being able to do it in, like, you know, an hour or two blocks. So, yeah, worked out so far, so good.
Okay, cool. Anyway, in-game news.
We.
Okay, you're starting off with the North again this week. Titan's been popped.
Mm-hmm. This happened, like, yesterday, right? As of the time of this recording. This is the Razor one?
Yeah, by the time it comes out, the show would probably be about 9 months old. But we'll see.
Yes. But yeah, it was Triumvirate and Insurgency took up one of Razor's Titans.
Mainly, yeah. Insurgency, actually, looking at this. This is Intensity Green's
nice.
Titan. It's an Erebus. And is that first Erebus popped?
I think so. I mean, I don't think I've heard of one being popped, but
I can't think of one being popped either.
History in the making, then. Sweet.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not a terrible setup by the look of what he's got here. He just, well, there's a whole load of dreads, basically, obviously came along and cut him to pieces in siege mode, as they tend to.
Mm-hmm. They're not invulnerable ships, but, yeah.
They're very, very vulnerable once you've got half a dozen dreads in siege mode. In fact, they've got more than half a dozen dreads there. It's they even had a capsule attacking it.
Oh, yeah, I wonder how the hell that works, but yeah.
So, yeah, it's a big, big loss for them.
Apparently not too much of a loss, because when it was first posted, they gave a ship loss of zero ISK. Which was kind of amusing.
Get your free Titans there. Roll up, roll up. Free Titans.
Yeah, obviously that was a little bit of an oversight on their part. They probably hadn't entered the price into the kill board or something. Who knows? But whoops.
Total loss now on the Insurgency kill board is just over 90 billion-esque. I think that's fairly reasonable, but it's very hard to put a price on something this big, the amount of effort it takes to build it.
Yeah.
However, if this is the only Titan that Razor have got, and I do believe it is, they have big problems without a jump bridge then, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. It's a fairly big chunk of logistical capability that has just been removed from their possession.
Especially as they're involved in a massive, massive war with Insurgency, who are doing very nicely at the minute. They're taking systems. It's kind of that sovereignty thing where it's not going too quickly. But, you know, they're definitely on top in the war, and Triumvirate are backing them up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's not looking too good.
Not in the least. So, Razor dying soon, do you think?
Well, I don't know.
Yes, well.
You're asking me to speculate on it, I realize this, but it's hard to say. I mean,
mostly harmless have got a few systems right up there in the north, so that's another little thing they've got to defend against.
Mm-hmm.
You guys took Razor to pieces, didn't you, when MC were up there?
Back in the day, yep.
Yeah, well, yes, admittedly that was about a year ago now.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they've got good bounce-back capabilities, shall we put it that way? Or at least they had about a year ago.
I don't know. It's hard to count them out until they're out. So, this should have a fairly good chunk of territory. And, again, who knows if they have another Titan either in the works or hidden. Never know, right?
The logistic nightmare if you lose a jump bridge. Well, you'll know this from MC. It's just no fun at all. Because you got to restart all your old-style logistics as well, which is a big hassle.
It is if you're not... Well, I guess if you're not prepared for that eventuality, which would be kind of silly.
Well, not really, because not many people use them in the front lines particularly. A lot of people just have them in pod shields.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether this one was used on the front line, I must admit. But do you see where I'm coming from here?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So anyway, going back to this, though, my take on it is Insurgency have got the upper hand for now. With Triumvirate, they probably could take out Razor, but it could be quite a slog because of sovereignty, basically. Depends how many Titans Razor have got and how easily they can pick up after this.
Yeah, I guess it also might depend on how much involvement Triumvirate's doing up in that area as well. I don't know, what else have they been up to this week?
Oh, there's lots and lots of news out of Triumvirate, let me tell you, mate.
You see where I was going with that one? I guess it was far too subtle.
You set me up, mate. You set me up. Yeah, I've actually been chatting to people online in Triumvirate about this. Okay, the basic news is the Illuminati dot. They're Illuminati with like a full spot behind them, because obviously the original the Illuminati corpse gone. But yeah, the corp board, the Illuminati with a full spot, with a full.
Did everyone hear like the absolute like venom behind that one? The Illuminati dot. Those bastards with a dot behind their names.
Venom. I just don't want people searching for the wrong bloody thing online, because it is the Illuminati corp who's like got 8 members and not done anything since 2006. This is the Illuminati with full stop behind it, who were members of Triumvirate, right?
Mm-hmm.
They got thrown out.
Hmm.
Because a member of Sparta, right, was taking the piss out of certain people in Doom for appearing on kill boards with very bad ship fittings.
Uh-oh.
Right? So for some reason, because this Sparta guy was taking the piss, the Illuminati got thrown out.
Hmm. Really?
Doesn't make sense to me either, I've got to say. I mean, I did have a chat with Kerry Sander, who is fairly senior in the Illuminati dot.
There it is again.
Yeah, he's the one who actually started off the code thread about this.
Oh.
And, okay, what happened was there'd been problems in Try with, as I say, stuff would appear in the kill boards with bad fittings, and let's face it, we've all been killed with something with bad fittings before in our time, haven't we?
This is true.
I know when you tried to put the 12 mega pulses on your Ibis.
Hey, I did put beam weapons on my thorax back in the day, but that was purely for comedy.
Yeah, you say.
It was. You mix them up, whole bunch of different, crystal types, and wow, pretty. Rainbow like colors, man.
It's like a gay disco in space.
Exactly.
Get there with YMCA play.
I was thinking more Pink Floyd, which is considerably not so much gay as, YMCA
it's a thorax.
Stuff.
It is a thorax with, like, different colored lights and sort of a rainbow flashing out of it, right? Being flown by Galente. It doesn't get more limp-wristed than that.
I don't know, man. I don't know. The rainbow does not necessarily imply gayness. Otherwise, you're insinuating something like, say, The Dark Side of the Moon is a gay-looking album cover, which it decidedly is not.
But that's not a rainbow. That is some prisms. Rainbow, as in, rainbows have to be curved, hence the bow bit.
Constituent colors were involved, okay? Anyway, moving on.
Possibly the most insane argument we've ever had on the show now.
I think we could probably one-up ourselves on this one, but getting back to where you're at.
35 shows, we're finally arguing about whether the album cover for Dark Side of the Moon is gay or not.
I don't think there's an argument here at all. It's not gay. And we're way off track, so...
getting back to the whole the Illuminati Dot Corporation and their leaving of Triumvirate. Yeah, things were posted on the Triumvirate kill boards, with chips of bad fittings came up, and people were being quite harsh about it to their fellow Alliance mates. People were getting quite pissed off about it, because, it's one thing getting, your enemies taking the piss out of you, but it's one thing, their court mates, and not friendly banter or stuff like that, people with real venom.
Were these actually, like, comedy fittings, or were they really, honestly, horrible fittings?
They weren't horrible fittings, but they weren't great fittings either. And they were expensive fittings, what was lost, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, okay.
It wasn't like, lasers on a dummy fitting. It was better than that, but not much.
Oh, man.
Yeah, Kerry Sander said the fittings were like having 3 overdrives and 2 aux thrusters on a ship.
Jesus.
Okay, that is kind of comedy, that, isn't it?
That's kind of nuts. Oh, man.
Okay, but... So, I think, frankly, if you do that, you deserve to have the piss taken out of you, but that's just me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
But anyway, going back to this... the Illuminati guys had voice concerns about people using crappy setups and thereby dying and wasting a lot of money that way.
Semi-legitimate concerns there, I think.
Yeah, but they were doing it publicly. That was a problem.
Oh, okay, that's not so cool.
Okay, then apparently Demoria from Sparta had a comedy drunk rat on TeamSpeak about just how crappy some of the big corps were, like Doom and stuff. In response, for some reason, Troy decided to kick the Illuminati. I'm not sure quite how that would work. I've also heard it was not a TeamSpeak rant, it was actually an Evemail rant. But given that it will take you exactly 1 millisecond to find out, what corp somebody's in, if you're in-game.
Mm-hmm. It just seems like a little bit of an excessive, response to me, but...
You're so nice and Canadian, you think, because I would go for bloody insane!
Just a little bit excessive, but yeah.
It's like, okay, so the ambassador for France said something rude about you, so you nuked Germany, Mr. President.
Oh, should have nuked France instead.
I know you guys in Canada and the Quebecies aren't big fans of each other either.
Those people are non-people.
That's like the nastiest thing I've ever heard you say about anybody.
No, yeah, no. Quebec is comedy, but
back to Eve, sir. Before we start,
you're the one who started it.
But yeah, I mean, God's sake, given we got people criticizing us, you know, our waxing political for saying sweatshops are wrong last week, and we had somebody complaining about that.
Really? What?
Yeah, I know.
No, wait. No, I mean, like, someone took the time out of their day to complain on that particular segment at all, much less that we were taking the stance that they were wrong. That's just really absurd.
Keep real world out of it!
Mm-hmm.
It was an Eve mail sent to me. I won't say names, but you know who you are. Anyway, back to Eve. So, yeah, in the immediate aftermath of the Illuminati getting chucked out, Sparta also decided to leave voluntarily. There's been a little bit of bad blood. I mean, Illuminati had Nyx blown up as they're heading out, apparently, which is not nice.
Ouch.
That's an expensive pop.
Mm-hmm. And a really nice-looking one, too.
Well, we've actually had discussions about this with a few people, and we've come to the conclusion that the Nyx is the best ship in the game at the minute, because it's got a pretty damn good tank, and it's got the damage bonuses.
And it looks really good.
You and your disco thorax, your opinion canon will be ignored.
No, as far as motherships go, I don't know, it's my preference at least, it looks pretty sweet. But yeah, it's definitely, I think a lot of people would agree, and I mean, just from what I've heard from Capital Pilots who fly it, that it's a very versatile ship as well, so can do multiple things very, very, very well.
So I think a lot of people feel it's the best ship in the game. I certainly do, even though I don't fly it, but I've been running away for a few before we move back to Empire.
Yep. Yeah, it's never a good thing when you see one, you know, on the opposing side.
So anyway, going back to this whole triumvirate situation, as I said, Sparta in the immediate aftermath also left. I had a chat with Evil Edna, who we saw a very funny kill mill from, actually, so he was criticizing about kill mills.
Yeah, and we'll get into that one a little bit later.
Oh yes, we will. You don't get away from that, Evil Edna.
No, sir.
He was kind enough to take the time out of his day and talk me through, you know, his perspective on this. So yeah, I've talked to the people who've left. Unfortunately, I couldn't get through to anybody in the Triumvirate leadership because apparently they thought that, you know, being in battle was more important than talking to me.
Sensible.
That's crazy talk.
I don't know, man. People have to have priorities.
Well, you're talking to me.
What? Hey, I'm kidding.
Oh, you're so cruel. I'm going to go and shed some emo tears.
Text your tissue for you.
Aw, bless. The gold-plated box.
Yes, exactly. Just like my Kronos.
Anyway, moving down to the south. We won't go all the way down to the south. We will, in fact, go into the sort of Providence in Parsi type area where IAC is losing systems to AAA. In fact, they're in grave danger of being cut in half.
Yes, it kind of looks like IAC is wearing a rather tight corset.
That is a wonderful description, sir, may I say. I think that is, yeah, fantastic. It's like a bow tie at the minute, IAC land.
it's like Libertas Fidelitas is back there tying them up tighter, sucking the chest a little bit more.
I don't know who they are. I mean, obviously I know who CVA are in the north. CVA aren't really doing anything much in this war. But yeah, I think AAA, they're doing well. They're doing really well. Because you've got that little section between where they can really squeeze them out, you know, sort of just north of Stain, that kind of area. Because, well, nothing in Quirius belongs to IFC anymore.
Yeah, they're about maybe one or two systems away from locking that entire side out. that's not such a good place for southwestern group of IAC to be.
Well, it's not been a good few months from IAC. I mean, because their corpse quitting over Tyrax coming back and stuff. So, and then AAA going to war with them, and not good.
Yeah. It just seems like there's bigger fish to fry. I don't know.
Well, let's talk about the really big fish, or the really big Shark V killer whale battle going on.
What?
I don't know. I'm trying to think back.
Anyway,
I'm trying to think back to nature programs and stuff to try and think of a good analogy, and it just didn't happen.
Okay, we're talking about Bob, basically, is what we're going at.
Yeah, what we're going at with Bob, who, as we claimed on the last show, had no problems at all clearing out everybody from Aquarius. As we said, that we expected no problems with that, and there was really no problems at all.
Yeah, that was, however, that was pretty darn swift.
Yeah, good job, guys. I mean, let's give you credit for that. However, Bob bounced back. Well, they're going south. They're off to Tortuga.
Okay.
Well, yes, they are. I mean, Maul actually produced a post a few weeks ago now, which we were going to talk about and then forgot, because we're useless, about how he was spread a few lies about how Bob were willing to sign a nap against MC for full sets of security plans, right?
Okay.
You haven't seen this thread?
Yes, I've seen it.
Yeah, and then it turned out to be all... Maul actually did say in it he lied. It was all a pack of lies. He's gunning for MC. He thinks you guys stabbed him in the back. He wants his period basis back.
Emo. Yeah.
So what's actually been happening in the fighting down there?
From what I can gather, because, like I said, I've been back in Empire here mostly this week, but I've been keeping an ear to the ground. What I can gather is that there was some, how can you put it? Misdirection that made some people think that I think C3M was going to be a main target, and instead they turned towards 874, which is a pretty interesting little place as far as MC's concerned, because it's one of her little forward base of operations, I guess you could say, in that area. So yeah, they've hit that pretty hard and have been dropping towers in there. So I think they're making a push in there. So it was rather interesting last few days, actually. This has just been happening just, the last day or two. So we'll have to see where this goes.
Well, you've been in Empire.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've been working my balls off in real life as well. But, this has been... it's been an interesting last couple of days, like I said. So we'll have to see where this goes.
I know KA have been doing a lot of fighting, and from what I'm hearing, they've very much enjoyed it here. It's really, really tooth and nail time. One side is going to go down a big time, throwing absolutely everything into it, from what I hear.
From what you hear, so what have you heard?
I've heard that this is where the big, big battle is going to be happening now. This is where all Bob's efforts are going to be going into, and a lot of Tortuga's efforts as well. Well, you've got to really defend your home space, having declared it yours, haven't you?
That would seem reasonable.
And you've got 11 Titans up against you.
Is that the official count now? That's a lot of Titans.
That is a lot of Titans.
At least one of them is, like, working logistics for mining ops.
Okay, 10 Titans.
Because, I don't know if you saw that picture, that was pretty humorous, but, yeah, I think it was... Was it Strike's avatar? Somebody's was. Like, remote wrapping a barge, doing some mining.
Oh, how friendly.
Yeah, it was really nice of them. But yeah, no, 11 Titans, that's pretty, that's a lot of Titans.
Isn't it just, though?
But Daniel, hold on for a second here. And this isn't a shot at Bob or anyone in particular. Just, it was an interesting discussion that happened on the forums about how Titans are basically killing Eve. This was something that came up into the game development forums Which, if you haven't checked out the Game Development forums, it's actually quite an interesting bit of, it's interesting threads that happen in there. A lot of it rabbling, but it was a Ferret Man, is the guy's name, made this post that Titans are destroying the game and he wants to remove the Doomsday now. And this has become a pretty large thread. Let's just say it's up to 18 pages now. A bunch of different ideas and various rabbling about the idea, whether or not it's good or bad.
That is the biggest load of bollocks I've ever heard.
Oh, okay. What's your stance on it then?
Titans aren't what's killing the game. If there is one thing killing the game, it's a current sovereignty system and stuff like that. That's kind of a bit of a strangle. And let's face it, it's not doing a terrible job at killing the game, given they've doubled the size of it since Titans have come out. But, yeah, if there is one thing which really needs to be looked at again in the game, is the sovereignty system. I think Kroven mentioned it when he was on Addicted Gamer as well. You know, it just slows things down too much. If you can't get capitals in there, so you got Sino Jammer, which, you know, in this sort of mega battleship killing pause. But you know where I'm coming from here.
Yeah. Oh, I know what you mean. And it's a very good point. I think it's all kind of tied together, in my opinion. I'm not saying the Titan and its Doomsday weapons are, like, you know, should be removed in any way. It's just, it could stand to do some tweaking. I guess I'd say this primarily as someone who isn't a capital pilot and hates having to go into a massive fleet. I mean, you work so hard to get up a huge fleet of ships to combat these things, and all they do is just drop a Titan on you.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they do the same with motherships, and it's all...
Yeah. And when you look at it to the point where you've got people with as many Titans as there are in the game, you know, people have more than one, that's kind of the trick, right? Because even if you do say, okay, he's fired his Titan, and there's like a timer, right, before he can jump out after a Doomsday Blast. What is it, like 15 minutes or something?
Take your word for it, because I don't know.
Yeah, there's some kind of, if I remember correctly, some kind of spin-up time that after you fire a Doomsday, your ship's basically a sitting duck. So you have to have somebody on hand to support you until that timer goes away, and then you can actually leave the system. But, I mean, so they're like, okay, Mr. Titan's sitting there, vulnerable as hell, let's all go and attack it. And then another Titan comes in and blows up that support fleet. And, you know, rinse and repeat until everyone's out and safe, right? So...
But it doesn't really blow up the fleet, though, because if you know what's coming, you can tank it quite happily. I mean, even if you don't know what's happening, if you're in a battleship, you can tank it. You know, you might be a bit hairy for a few minutes, but you can survive this. And if you know what's coming, you just get the specific hardeners you need. And I've heard of people surviving Doomsdays and Scepters, you know, haven't done it myself.
Yeah. I know what you mean. I know what you mean, however, but... What I'm saying is, if you have several Titans, I don't care how much of a tank you have on your battleship, right? Survive the first one, probably not the second. Most assuredly not the third and fourth. Or fifth, or sixth, or seventh, or eleventh. You know what I mean? Like, and that's even assuming that there aren't capital ships on the field. So, it's kind of a challenge. But I do agree that the sovereignty system does need to be looked at in a huge way as well. So I think it's all part and parcel, though. The whole mechanic needs to be looked at.
And okay, and the final bit of in-game news. Oh, I did something very bad.
What?
Somebody gave me some leaked TeamSpeak recordings, and I listened to it. In fact, these have been very, very heavily leaked anyway, so probably anybody who's interested would have found them already. It's the State of the Goonian address from Goonswarm from a few weeks ago.
Do tell.
Okay, well, firstly, the background is the leaders of Goonswarm have these things called State of the Goonian addresses, which is a massive TeamSpeak kind of meeting. And it doesn't work that much differently for the dev chats, actually. Conspiracy theories, might want to hear that one.
Interesting.
What they do is they have the leader, so in this case it's Darius, leader of Goonswarm, goes and chats about, you know, goons and their objectives and what's going on and what their plans are in very vague terms, because obviously he knows this is going to be stolen and spied and leaked on, and then he will take questions from the player base. And then you get... That was an interesting... Were you drinking at the time?
Yes. I'm all done now.
Okay, good. There wasn't that much of interest. I mean, we found various things about Darius's sexual activity, which I probably would have been better not knowing. Oh. And being a goon thing, there's an awful lot of insults thrown around, as you'd also expect.
Potentially.
However, the big thing he's saying is they're having real trouble getting the goons out and fighting, getting enough people, you know, formed into fleets, and, you know, heading out there and, say, heading into Delve against Bob.
Really?
Yeah, they're having real troubles, because goons... I'm going to do a history thing now, Blinky. You're going to hate this, as usual. Have you heard of the Mongol hordes?
Yes.
Yep. Created in a very, very short time the largest continuous empire.
Can we just put a link in the show notes and just have people go to that instead?
Yeah. But the point about the Mongol hordes, don't worry, this is quick, right? Is that under great leaders like, you know, Genghis Khan and Kublai Khan and stuff, they were basically unstoppable. But when they got less good leaders, they weren't as united, they would just really drift off because they were nomads. And, you know, right, they had a huge empire, but there was a lot of people, you know, who weren't necessarily directly loyal to them. So things would drift off, and that's why the Mongol Empire, you know, created massive amounts of area in a very short time under, you know, very charismatic, very powerful leadership, and then all very quickly drifted off, and you end up with little remnants like the Golden Horde and stuff. Yeah, it didn't last long.
Well, I just have to say that the Wrath of Khan was my most favorite Khan of them all.
Shut up. You bloody Trekkie.
I don't think you have to be a Trekkie to appreciate Star Trek 2, man.
It does have the best space battles in it, I'll give you that.
It was epic.
But anyway, back to that. So that could be kind of what happened with goons. There was a lack of the sort of inspiring leadership, you know, a lack of remedial showing his schlong on the forums, and for some reason the goons decided not to attack anymore.
Oh, really? What are they going to do? Make a picnic?
So there was going to be goons and they were going to surprise the support fleet, which seems fair enough to me. Mm-hmm. And yeah, they were waiting there in period basis for the goons to show up, and nothing happened, and, you know, weren't just going to march into Bob's space on their own and just die. And apparently the goon leadership were saying, yeah, we were trying to make a fleet, but all our guys were basically pissing about riding their bikes, quote. So maybe they're doing that in real life, maybe they were doing the Eve equivalent of just pissing about. But so yeah, the tidal wave of bees kind of seems to have stopped, and, well, the current leadership is desperately trying to get it going again.
Hmm. That's kind of too bad, in a way. What is the Eve equivalent of pissing about, anyways? Like, mining?
Yeah, the Eve equivalent of pissing about is mining, in the sense that the people I met in Empire were mining.
Yeah.
AFK mining.
It's probably like refueling pauses or something. I don't know. But that's too bad, though. I mean, because usually...
I don't think the goons were really doing that. I think the goon equivalent of pissing about is flying around in Empire shooting mining barges, of course.
Well, but that's been kind of... I haven't heard a lot about that lately.
Finished with. Your Jihad Swarm's finished
done,
with.
Done, so...
Or just going into systems and spamming fo in local.
But, I mean, that's kind of too bad if they can't get organized that way. I mean, how hard can it be? I mean, what are the pilots expecting? I mean, you know, how hard is it just to say, let's all go die together?
Well, you'd think that's been worked fairly well in the past, hasn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe they're resting on their laurels, that could be the problem, but...
Weird. You know,
so... Yep, I did something bad and I got insider information and now I'm sending it out over the interwebs. But to be honest, I'm sure Goonsaw worked out that their stuff was going to be leaked. So there was no great revelations in there. I think most people who matter in the game kind of have noticed Goons haven't really been doing a lot for a while.
Yeah, I haven't heard too much. Like I said, other than the whole Jihad Swarm thing, I haven't heard too much out of their camp lately.
And of course, Jihad Swarm is... does nothing against their actual enemies in Bob.
No, exactly. So, I don't know. Hopefully they can get their butts organized again.
Do you want them organized again?
Why not? Yep. Just remember how it was, like, you know, a year or two ago when everyone feared the goon, that the goon was going to take over the universe?
Fear the goon.
Fear the goon. recognize the goon. No, I just, I don't know. It, but, I don't know. That kind of random goofiness adds something to the game. I'm not entirely sure what, but it adds something to it.
It subtracts the IQ of the average player.
You can add negative numbers just fine.
Okay.
Jeez.
Anyway, yeah. Enough math talk. Because now it's time for our new feature, which is...
Law Mails. Yes, Law Mails. Basically, we got this idea going because every week, at least once a week, one of us, mostly me, gets fed some kind of hilarious kill mail of some kind. And there's a lot of them that floats around Eve, really. And it's usually just someone who either has some kind of absolutely great comedy fitting of some kind, or just lost and failed in such a massive epic way that it was just pure comedy to be circulated around Eve. So, yeah, we thought this would be kind of a fun thing and a real quick thing to go into. And, yeah, this week, I think we talked about it a little bit before. Evil Edna, you're up.
Are we doing Evil Edna first, are we?
So, yeah, Evil Edna, oh boy. What was happening here? Well, apparently he lost a crow to apparently some Isk farmers. That's the rumor that's been circulating. It's not just any crow. Crow being an interceptor, I mean, usually these things aren't, you know, you don't usually weep too much when you lose one, but you do when the total ship loss amounts to 3.3 billion Isk. This is probably one of the most crazy fittings I've seen on anything like an interceptor, but...
And you're thinking, how can you fit 3.3 billion worth of stuff on a crow? So, I mean, let's start off here. I mean, the big money things are...
Well, there's an easy way to do this, and you use the F word, and the F word is faction. Faction fitting across the board, pretty much. Oh, man. Should we start with the most expensive first?
Go on, then.
Well, probably the most expensive one, at least as far as the kill board is concerned, the values, which is not necessarily accurate, but an SML's modified ballistic control system, 1.75 billion ISK. But not just any launchers. These are three Kaldari Navy standard missile launchers, so these aren't cheap either.
They're not in that, nowhere near that kind of money, though.
No, still.
Stop. You remember when we were discussing rigs, and I said, you know, putting some engine rig on your Tyrannus might be a good idea? I didn't necessarily mean putting two polycarbon engine housing twos on it. Killbot price is 900 million ISK. I think they go for a lot more, actually. I think we're sort of talking a little bit over a billion for those each. So, yeah. I mean, put them on your Tyrannus on Sizzy, by all means, but no, not on DQ! Not on a bloody scepter!
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot of ISK. I mean, I can only assume by the sheer amount of ISK on this thing that it's basically meh to him to lose it. Because to put that much gear, that expensive gear, on an interceptor, I mean, yikes. But theoretically, how fast do you think he was able to go in this thing? Because, I mean, on this thing, he had the two polycarbonates, the rigs. He had two Republic Fleet overdrive injectors, and then had a Gisty A Type 1 Meganewton micro warp drive. I'm assuming he probably had some implants in his head, you know, some kind of set. Yeah, I mean, something definitely helping out his speed at this point. How fast do you think he was actually able to go?
Something obscene. I don't know how much money. Something just, oh.
That's nuts. I'll have to, maybe I'll tinker with this in maybe EFT or something and see how fast that ends up going. That's absolutely nuts. Anyway,
let's give him credit for something though. He did post this on the Spartan Industries Guild board.
Yes.
So we'll give credit for that.
Oh, definitely. Well, I mean, I'll give credit to even using this thing. I mean, that's like something people dream of, is having this ridiculously fitted ship. It's pretty phenomenal. I'm pretty sure if we search through the back history on that kill board, I'm sure that ship was involved in all sorts of fights. But unfortunately, losing it in such a, I don't know, it seems kind of a waste to lose it to a bunch of Iskarmers, but it's, I guess that's them's the breaks, right? But
them's the breaks. Yeah,
Evil Edna, we salute you. What's next?
I've got one. This one was from Alternative Solutions, which is a non-alliance corp. Pilot is a guy called Jove Witness, presumably some sort of take of Jehovah's Witness or something lame like that. Ready? I'm going to give you the link now in your MSN. A Phobos heavy interdictor, which is omni-tanked. That's right, it is armor-tanked and shield-tanked.
Wow.
Yeah, so there we have got mid-slots. Okay, he's got a 10 meganewton micro-warp drive 2, fair enough. Then he's got multispectral shield matrix and large shield extender 2. He's got two... So he's got two multispectral shield matrixes and a large shield extender 2. Low slots, medium armor repairer 2, 1600 plates, armor explosive hardener 2, and an RCU. RCU's fair enough, actually.
Oh, wow.
High slots, dual 2150 prototype 1 Gauss gun. Oh no, are those as f***ed as I think they are?
Why not at this point? Oh.
But basically, if I remember rightly, those are like a bunch of bloody pop guns. They are pathetic.
They're not quite civilian, but yeah. You're not too far off the mark. Ouch. I just giggle at the... I love killboard comments. The first one from Anon: can't decide which tank to use? Why not try both? Oh, oops. I don't know what the theory was. Maybe this is some setup that he probably ran in EFT and said, wow, look at all the effective hit points I get out of this. It's not all about that.
That's not how it works. Okay, let me just spell this out for you. Omni-tanking is the cardinal sin of Eve. There is an argument you can make for putting a damage control unit to give you a better hull tank. Okay, fair enough, I'll let you have that one. But armor and shields? Nope. Wrong. Just wrong. Don't do it.
Yeah, mixing tanks is usually a very bad idea. You end up on kill boards, kind of like this.
Evil podcasts as well.
Well, it is amusing. I mean, you can cause, you know, some ships do lend themselves to doing the opposite in terms of what you would normally consider a tank. Like in terms of, you know, armor tanking like a Raven, which was always good for comedy in EFTV, but, you know, can be done, you know, in a semi-reasonable fashion. Because people are assuming that all they're going to have to do is dig your shields down, all of a sudden, wait a second, his armor's not falling as fast as it normally is. So you can kind of go for that kind of surprise value, but...
Shield tank nano dummies.
Yeah,
not that they happen anymore, but they are quite. They can be quite a shock.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's not like this. That kind of thing never happens, but not usually mixing and matching like this. That's usually not a good idea at all.
So anyway, if you kill something with a really really bad comedy setup, and you would like us to ridicule it. Or alternatively, if you're brave enough to actually have us ridiculing you for your bad setups, why not email either me or Winterblink with the link to the killboard thing, and we will be very happy to see it and laugh at it, and hopefully can make this a regular feature.
I'm pretty sure that this will be a regular feature. This is Eve.
I think it should be pretty good. I'm just looking at this one again. It's like, no, what are you doing? You shouldn't be allowed to fly. There should be, like, you know, some sort of EVE equivalent of the driving test, you know, before you're allowed to get in a ship. You've got to prove you've got some measure of understanding.
Well, and that's not necessarily a precursor to having a long nail, really. I mean, because, I mean, Evil Edna knows how to fit a ship, right? Historically speaking.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, this is just probably just some, you know, I have a ton of money to burn, why not make the most Uber Interceptor possible? So, yeah, I'm really actually curious, Evil Edna, if you want to get in touch and let me know how fast that thing goes, approximately, you know, before gang skills are applied. I'm really actually quite curious, because that, as an Interceptor pilot, I'm just kind of wondering. But I'm venturing a guess of really fast, but yeah.
You should could just do that on fitting tool, dude.
True.
Time for the discussion point, and this is your turn this week, Blinky, isn't it?
Oh my god. Oh god, what have I got myself into? Yes, it is my turn. It's kind of like a little mini guide, I guess you could say, on brackets. Everyone loves brackets, right? You love brackets?
Oh yeah, yeah, they are great if you're writing a paragraph and you want to say something which isn't fully in context with the rest of it, but might get a good laugh.
Exactly, right. Exactly. And you got three different kinds, right? You got the regular brackets, square brackets, and the little chicken lip brackets.
Yeah, the curvy brackets. Also great if you're writing code.
Yes. Note, not the forum code, but code.
If you are programming, like me and you do for a living.
Oh, I do so much more than programming, sir. But yes, no, of course, we're talking about brackets in EVE. And this, for most vets, this will probably be something that they'll know all about, but there's still a little bit of confusion you see on the forums about what the hell brackets are, because this was kind of brought front and center in recent patches, right? With
the moon stuff.
Yeah, with the moon stuff, but also just in general, giving us the ability to configure brackets. Brackets basically are like, you know, if you look on your Starfield and your EVE screen, you'll have like little circles for planets and like funny little circles with little arrows going into them for gates. Those are what CCP has called brackets. And they basically just let you, you know, of course, click on them and interact with different objects in and around your screen. Which is all fine and good. Up to this point, we haven't had the ability to really tweak which brackets we see. But now we can, which is kind of cool. I guess, you know, and... Oh, hold on. Let's see here. Where was I? Oh, there we go. Oh, God. So, I think most people probably out there are aware of how they can configure their overview with various different configurations, the preset configurations. If you look on your overview, you have a little triangle button thingy next to it, and if you click on it, you can go to Open Overview Settings. And essentially, those are just in the filter tabs, where you can turn on and off what you actually want to see on the overview. And this, and when you save them, it saves it as a preset. Now what they've added is, if you go all the way over to the right side of that overview settings window, there's an overview tabs tab, ironically enough. And they've given us the ability to configure up to 5 tabs to appear on your overview window, which is really actually kind of cool. In addition to having the 5 tabs, we also can customize what brackets we see, which is actually really, really handy. Because, for instance, you don't necessarily want to see asteroid belts when you have a combat setting, you know, going on your overview. So the idea here is that you can have a tab named whatever, combat. You can have an overview setting of combat and like a bracket setting that will have specific brackets on the screen that you want to have for that particular tab. The interesting thing to note is actually, you know, what bracket setting you are is essentially an overview filter preset. So you kind of have to, you have to configure your bracket stuff sort of separate if you want it to be different, and then set that setting in here. It's kind of, that's probably one of the weirdest things. It's not actually a separate, completely separate type of configuration from overview filters. It is an overview filter. It's just that it's actually just changing the brackets, not what you see on your overview, if that makes any kind of sense. Now, for me, my approach to this so far has been, I basically made myself an overview filter preset of the brackets that I want to see. For instance, I don't need to see asteroid belts really ever. I don't need to see moons, but I usually keep planets and stations, stargates, that kind of things. I usually keep those active and stuff. So I made myself like a custom brackets filter preset. And I basically applied that to most, if not all, of my tabs. Just keeps it consistent. But if you have something that's really funky for combat-specific roles or mission-specific roles, it's good to... it's good to set that up as well separately. So, It's not too tough to set. And a recent patch added in something where, for whatever reason, the default overview settings were showing moons. And that was just... That was kind of madness, because all of a sudden you had all these brackets all over your screen that you didn't actually want or need.
Moon madness!
And, well, I mean, for obvious reasons, if you're out in the nether regions of Eve, warping to moons can
or
pretty
anywhere.
Much be suicide.
Or anywhere, to be honest.
Right.
I suppose if you're in Safe Empire, maybe you're okay, but...
Yeah, low sec, 0-0, bad idea to warp to moons, kind of, unless you're in the... Shuttle. Actually, not so much in a shuttle now. Those have gotten more expensive. But, you know, it's a handy thing to configure. You play around with it. There's no real single setting, I think, that applies to everybody. Obviously, everybody plays the game differently. So I've kind of gone with what I go with. And I actually really, really enjoy... I like the overview tabs capability now that they put in. Because I always keep one handy, which I call Pod Saver, which is basically planets, stations, stargates, get me the hell out of this place. I don't care about anything else. So, you know, you've just been podded. You can just really quickly flip over to Pod Saver, click to something, warp the hell out of there. That
I
one
think
comes
we
in
all
really...
have that one.
Yeah, you'd be surprised. And it's very handy to have just this one bracket. It's very handy to have just one overview tab set for that. But
my
it is...
So my one of those is actually called Run Away!
Yeah, and it's probably one of the handier features that they've come out with. And as confusing as sometimes the bracket configuration can be, that's also a really, really handy one as well, because the defaults show everything and stuff that you don't really need, and it's an absolute mess. And apparently, I'm not sure if it's still the case, but back when they first patched in bracket support, like configuration support, I should say, it was causing immense lag. So I don't know if that's still the case. Like, I mean, like in fleet fights, for whatever reason, it was terrible if you had the show all brackets set. Which is actually something worth mentioning. If you do, for whatever reason, need to see everything, if you click on the little triangle next to overview, there is an option there to just show all brackets, which will turn everything on, make your screen a nice big mess. But some for whatever reason, if you need to do it, it's there.
And, you're feeling masochistic or something.
Yes, exactly.
I don't think I'm experiencing enough lag at the minute. I'm going to hit this.
Yes. I don't want to see, like, smooth animations and stuff. So, anyway, it's brackets in a nutshell, really, and there's not much more to go into about it. It's really definitely just something that you should just play around yourself, ideally in a safe place. Like, don't sit outside a station in LoSAC and screw about with it. Find yourself a nice place out in space and just start playing with the overview and your brackets.
Yep, and you will have happy, happy joy time.
Indeed. Brackets bring joy.
Right then, homework assignment. Last week I picked, at the last minute, Amazon Women on the Moon.
And an excellent pick that was. Now, we've actually gotten some good feedback in our podcast right about that one.
Yeah, I saw that. Glad people enjoyed it. I did get the piss taken out of me at work, though, because I, you know, ordered the DVD through Play, as I said at the time. And
like a Norrie.
I get all my stuff delivered to work, because there's no one here at my place during the daytime to sign for it. So, you know what I mean? You get just people at reception to sign for it, and you pick it up later, as you do.
Mm-hmm.
So my boss is being, oh, so how's your geek porn tonight and stuff? It's not geek porn. There's only one naked woman in it for a bit.
Oh, yeah. There's more nudity in the movie I had the week before.
But he plays rugby, so he likes to sort of get very close to sweaty men.
Yeah, nice.
Anyway, what's your choice for homework this week, sir?
I thought about this for a little while, and I thought, I don't know if you heard the whole plight of Wesley Snipes this week. Did you hear about this? He got busted for tax evasion?
I heard bits and pieces about it, yeah. He doesn't like the high idea of income tax, and he's been fighting it for quite some time, hasn't he? So your homework this week is to suggest that our listeners commit tax fraud. I love your thinking.
Obviously this one would probably mostly apply to Americans in the audience. But, however, I think anybody would probably appreciate this one because it actually has some pretty global implications. But it's a really interesting documentary that this colleague of mine had recommended. I checked out, I think it was about last year, I think he handed me this thing. But it's a really good documentary called America, Freedom to Fascism. It's by a guy named Aaron Russo. And it deals with stuff like, it starts off with the whole tax law issue of like whether or not it's even legal for the American government to ask you to pay taxes. There is no amendment to the Constitution in the United States that's been ratified federally that states that you have to pay income tax, at least not in the form that the American government is asking you to pay. So it's quite amusing, but in the process of investigating how this is and why this is, and it's really amusing to watch this because any of the IRS people he talked to just freak out and leave. He goes into so much more of why this is happening and what this could accomplish, you know, in the long term. And it's all about control and all this other stuff. But you should really check it out. It's a very, very good documentary. If you Google it, you'll find the site where you can go check out the DVD. And I think it's probably available elsewhere.
It's available. It's actually an authorized copy on Google Video for
yes.
this. I've just Googled it. So don't worry. If you can watch it on Google Video, it is legit.
Yeah, no, I wasn't implying that there was... Well, there is illegitimate ways of getting it. But yes, I was about to get into that, that there is a copy on Google Video about this. So it's a really good watch, and it's actually really surprising how many people don't know about a lot of the stuff that he's talking about. And it's not that he's just sort of talking to, you know, kind of conspiracy theorist, tinfoil hattery type people. He's talking to like guys like Ron Paul and stuff like that. And he's openly talking about these. Ron Paul, watch the video, you'll see. I could go into details about it, but he's involved in politics in the United States, so he's people over here know him. But anyway, they go into this whole business, and it's very, like, again, he's not talking to people who have no education and stuff like that. You know, these are some pretty big name people that he's actually going into these conversations with and getting some really scary answers. So check it out, scare the crap out of you. Try to not be a Wesley Snipes this year, I guess, but you know, who knows, man? Maybe you shouldn't be paying after all. But interestingly enough, by the way, as an aside, out of curiosity, I went to the Canada Customs and Revenue Agency, or basically the organization who handles our taxes, and there's a pretty big bullet point in their frequently asked questions about this, saying, you know, contrary to what's going on in the States, there is an actual, you know, ratified thing in our Constitution that says you have to pay personal income tax. So, oh well.
Well, you can always move south of the border if you want, mate.
Yeah, I suppose. Then there's just all the madness to contend with down there, so, yeah.
Anybody who would like to complain about this, though, talk to Blinky, don't talk to me. I will watch it, though, sir, and I will get back to you next week on it.
I am by no means trying to incite a riot here. It's just an interesting documentary, I thought, that was quite an eye-opener. I mean, obviously, I don't live in the United States, but it was quite an interesting watch. So, yeah, give it a go.
Fairly ironic, because I actually got my tax rebate form this week. It's the P60 form you get, which tells you how much tax you've paid during the year and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, and then I'm giving all that money to these idiots.
Yeah. Well, if you really want to see
without waxing political here as well, the government of England is not going particularly well just at the minute. The government just did a fairly major U-turn in an absolute panic. But let's not get off on the political side of that either, I think. So what else have you been playing this week? I haven't been really playing anything. I've played EVE, obviously, but I'm mainly just waiting for GTA 4, which, yeah, if we don't actually put out another podcast for about 9 months after this one, blame Rockstar Games, I think.
I think everybody's going to be getting GTA fever, you know, that day. I'm seriously pondering going in for a midnight sale and just calling in sick the next day. I mean, everyone, my team leads and stuff, they all play games anyway, so they'll know exactly what the hell I'm doing, but still, I'm just... yeah, I can see a lot of people taking a break from a lot of things around that time.
Yeah. I'll tell you one thing, CCP didn't think this out, because this is out on Tuesday, the 29th, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're doing a stability test on the new network layer on Singularity then. So you're not going to get anybody on there. It's like, no, GTA.
They're going to have record lows on Tranquility, much less Singularity.
Yeah, if you did it on Monday, Wrangler, would have been fine, no problems at all. Yeah, everybody would have just been sort of foaming at the mouth going, yeah, I must get Login to Eve. I mean, I told you, my corp moved back to Empire Space, basically because we don't know how much we're going to be hammered by the GTA effect.
Yeah, well, it's going to be a big deal, a huge deal. And, you know, no one's going to, like, sit back and go, I'll just play that in a week, you know, while I take over Eve. I mean, no, everyone's going to want to see what the hell's in store with the new GTA. And from what I've seen, looks really good. Because there's been some leaked copies already, and some people have posted some videos on YouTube, which Rockstar is stomping down like one of those big Monty Python feet. And it's quite impressive, actually, from what I've seen. Very impressive. The detail in there is amazing. And if I were to make a recommendation on the subject, buy it when it comes out, because there's some bits in there that surprise me that it doesn't have an adults-only rating. So I can only assume that it will get one. If it doesn't come out with one, it'll be like really soon. Just say that much.
I guess so. I mean, I'm getting it for my 360. Are you getting for the 360 or the PS3?
I'm going to get it on the PS3, actually. I'm really not investing too much into my 360 these days. I know it limits me somewhat from playing with certain individuals, but the majority of the people I know actually have PS3s and are probably going to get it on the PS3. There's the whole issue of coming out with downloadable content, right? 360 is supposed to have all this exclusive DLC, new missions and whatever. Meh. You know, there's GTA games I've never finished. It's just you get to the point where you just sit back and you screw around in the whole thing, right? I mean, San Andreas never finished. Vice City I never finished. I did finish GTA 3. But you just get to a point where you're just too busy screwing around in the game that you just don't even bother going back and doing the plots. So yeah, but PS3 is the way I'm going to go with that one.
So, while we're anticipating GTA 4, what have you been playing?
Eve. As well as some Team Fortress 2, and I'm doing some Crisis Core on my PSP as well. Nothing too serious, mostly Eve, to be honest. Team Fortress 2 is, like, just hella fun, man. And you don't play it. Why don't you play it? Play it!
Because I suck at FPSs.
Play it! Honestly... You're missing out. I mean, it's not like your typical FPS, dude. It's just because of the fact that you have such a specific role that you're playing. It's not like your typical FPS where it's not complicated.
Mongo dumb.
It's okay. You got like two or three weapons, maybe. You know, like it's not too bad. Honestly, it's an excellent game. You should give it a shot. You will like not play anything else. Well, except for GTA.
I've played it before, but I'm not really part of a clan in it, so...
You don't need to be in a clan, though. Honestly, I've had just as much fun doing drop-in games, and you get negative experiences that way as well, but that's like any other game. It's good stuff, dude.
Maybe one day, but as I said, GTA 4 will be taking over my life.
Yeah, it'll be good. Also, I've been playing some Warhawk on the PS3, which is a ton of fun. Third-person shooter action thingy. Really easy controls to get into. Ton of fun. Oh, God, just Google it. Looks amazing. Really good game. Very much like Battlefield. I think it's a little bit more easily accessible. And just a lot more fun to play, actually, I find. That's just my opinion. But yeah, that's all I've been doing this week in terms of gaming. Oh, sorry, one other thing. Actually, oddly enough, in Eve, I figure this is probably a good enough place to mention it. I've been tinkering around in the help channel, actually, lately. Have you been in there much?
I kind of got banned from there after giving really bad advice for a laugh a few times.
Yeah, there's a bit of that that goes on in there, but it's actually not bad. I of course, doing missions can get really boring, and it's, depends on the mission, I guess. But... yeah, it's fun just to have that channel open and see some of the goofiness that goes on in there. And it's actually not too bad imparting wisdom upon some newer players. I actually don't mind it too much. I've been trying to spend as much time as I can in there actually just the last few days to see what's going on, seeing how many new players are coming and going, and it's pretty steady, man.
You're only going in there because of the new players. You know, they're not going to be just in awe with your internet megastardom and going, oh my god, I'm talking to Winterblink, I'm not worthy.
Urban.
Because, you know, anybody doesn't know, you know, you realize that obviously these shows are quite heavily edited, because just the whole time I'm there going, I can't believe I'm talking to Winterblink, it's so amazing. Honest, yeah, that really happens.
F*** off. I don't know, I don't mind helping out new players and stuff, because, I mean, let's face it, we've been playing this game forever, and,
with
the
nukes.
Yeah, there's still things that I'd never done. It's, I guess, a testament to how incredibly ridiculously huge the game is. But, it's still where I can. I don't mind popping out the odd little useful bit of information. And it's pretty funny, actually. Some of the guys in there are not too bad, so... and but there's this fair share of trolling, of course, as usual.
So you go, bye, Tyrannus! You can't kill them.
Yeah, they're immortal. But, yeah... Help channel. Check it out. Good fun.
Cool. And now on to community news.
Yay!
Okay, first up, there's a new podcast I have found. It's not... If you saw the thread we had where we're chatting to the people and looking up, setting up their own e-podcast, it's not those guys. I actually had a nice chat to him on Skype, actually. Very nice bloke. And I gave him a few tips on... Well, presumably, that's what I consider good advice for doing podcasts, but probably he's going to do the exact opposite and do far better than he would have done if he took my advice, as you'd expect.
Awesome.
But it's not these guys, but obviously good luck to you, and we will be happy to, you know, publicize your show when it comes out, and happy to give you any help you'd like. You know, just ask. Seriously, you've got both of our MSNs now, so grab us, talk to us, we're happy to help.
Definitely.
But I digress. This is a new podcast who doesn't need any of my help. Have you heard of Van Hemlock?
No.
Van Hemlock is a fairly famous blogger. He's a very, very prolific blogger, actually. I mean, you know, every day he's got a new post out about life in MMOs. He's a virtual monster hunter, according to his blog. And he's actually started off his own podcast now.
Hmm, cool.
He does it with a guy called John. Sissy, dude, get a proper internet name.
I could make jokes, but anyway, let's just let that one sit there.
Yeah, Van Hemlock and John. Anyway, the podcast's actually really good. They've got four out. I actually caught the link on Virgin Worlds, because if you look at the Virgin Worlds Podcast Collective page, at the top you've got all the ones hosted by Virgin Worlds. And thank you very much again, Brent, for hosting our podcast for us.
Yeah, one of these days we should, like, totally, like, ransack his podcast and go on there. And be like, hey, we're guest starring.
He's on Skype right now.
Wonder if he's recording. We should just, yeah, we should try and crash his party.
All your Virgin Worlds are belong to us.
Exactly.
But anyway, going back to it, if you go to the Podcast Collective page on Virgin Worlds, down at the bottom, he's actually got other MMO-related podcasts, and I've got this new one here with Van Hemlock's MMO podcast, and it's kind of a triangle wearing a hat as a graphics.
Okay.
Well, I don't make these things up, it's just how it is. But, I downloaded the fourth one, right? Uh-huh. Listened to it at work. It was so good that at that lunchtime, I went, got on my bike, because I'm on a fitness kick at the minute, so I'm biking to work and back. Got on my bike, rode home, downloaded the other three podcasts, and rode back to work, because I liked the fourth one so much. And yeah, all four episodes are absolutely excellent. Sound quality is really good. They're very tongue-in-cheek. It's not just Eve chat, but there's an awful lot of Eve chat there. It's great fun.
Nice. Let's get that one a check out.
Yeah, I would suggest you do. Is that it for podcasts we got this week?
There's like a podcast coming out every week. It's pretty amazing, though. It's good stuff.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of also podcasts coming out this week, if you go to The Addictive Gamer, which is another one of the Virgin Worlds podcasts, Groven is on there on episode 10.
Uh-oh.
Do talking a lot of Eve stuff. Yeah, well, he's Kroven. He gets everywhere. Too much enthusiasm, that kid. I mean, he's writing for Massively now and everything.
Yeah, that actually, you know, it's amazing how I for the longest time I kind of kept Massively like on my bookmark list. I checked it every once in a while. That place is like really improved. Like there is just shocking amounts of news that are just pouring into that place. Not only Eve related, but just in general about MMOs. They're doing an excellent job, in my opinion. They're now probably one of the top MMO news sites that I check on a daily basis.
Yeah, they've got some really good writers there. I mean, they've got our friend Michael Zenke. We met him in Iceland, I think, didn't we?
Eh?
I think we did. One of the people we met in Iceland, but... yeah, and obviously you've got Kroven there. They've got some very, very good writers.
Mm-hmm. God, I love the way the Kronos looks. Such a pretty ship.
Yeah.
It's all golden and evil.
Put your pants back on, Blinky.
1500, man, in one shot. That's crazy.
Anyway, time for your next bit of community news, and this is one of yours, I think.
Oh, I have many, many, many bits of news. So first up, Alien Hand. Some of you might remember him and his music. He's doing this absolutely amazing Eve music. He is now getting himself going with, mailing lists. So, you know, he's a good guy. He releases stuff, he puts it out on the forums. And if you miss his posts on the forum zone and don't watch his site very often, you might be missing some releases. So now what he's done is, if you go to his page on alienhand.dk, we'll probably put a link to this in our show notes somewhere, he's actually providing an option for you to sign up on a mailing list. Presumably not going to, like, you know, sell your email addresses to like some spammers or something, but you know, it'll be a good way, I think, for people to keep up on any new releases he's got. His latest one is unbelievable. I don't know if you've checked it out, his latest one.
What's it called?
I'm trying to find the information out right now. Where did I put that MP3? Damn it.
I know we challenged him to a duel.
We did?
Well, I did on the forums for some reason.
That seems weird.
Yeah, I think we decided that we were going to, that our weapons were going to be, bees soaked in Brenowin.
Ugh. Yes, his latest one is called, Shadow of the Sun. It's his seventh release, and it is really good.
Although, so, physically impossible.
Yes, indeed. But still, an excellent, excellent piece of music. Check it out and get on his mailing list if you're interested in becoming more well-informed whenever he releases his new tracks, which apparently I hear through the grapevine that there's one coming out at some point this weekend. So probably by the time you listen to this, he might have a new one out.
Oh, you heard it on the grapevine.
Stop.
You should go and pop idle and just get laughed at, or...
No.
The trouble is, there's no equivalent of the Gong Show anymore. It's very depressing.
It's reality TV, man. It's meant to be depressing.
TV is pretty depressing, actually, these days. That's why I very
Whoa. Except for Battlestar Galactica, which is turning out to be epic so far, Season 4. The final season of Battlestar Galactica... Watch it. It is excellent. Well, don't watch it unless you've seen the first three seasons plus a miniseries, but be a great time to get caught up. Go out and buy them. Watch it. Season 4 is just turning out to be insane.
We don't have it over here yet. You know that, you bastard.
You don't. So you wouldn't want me to spoil who the fifth Cylon is, would you? Well, actually, I couldn't do it because I haven't revealed that yet. But anyway, well, I guess...
He should have just started something completely mad fake rumor then. Yeah, the fifth Cylon is a cat which lived in it.
Yeah, Billy comes back to life. No, it's turning out to be really good. Of course, no spoilers. I hate spoilers, so I'm not going to give you any. But, yeah. Awesome. I think it's been hands down. Everyone's been agreeing that they've been really, really good, except for a few people who have no taste in what is good in the world. So, yeah, check it out. Anyway,
There's always critics.
Of course. But anyway, Next up in community news, Lumi, L-U-M-Y, not to be confused with Lumi of Conan. Anyway, there's more than one Lumi in the game. Anyway, Lumi of Insurgency posted in general discussions that there is now a content management system available for Eve. So it works with in-game browser as well as out-of-game browsers. This is actually kind of handy. So, like, basically this lets you, you know, basically easily create... It's a framework, essentially, for in-game browser and out-of-game browser compatible sites, which is awesome. Because if you've ever tried to do this, it can be kind of a pain in the butt. So, it's provided a bunch of...
I think it's fair to say the in-game browser is crap.
It's special. So, this lets you actually do a lot of this kind of nifty simple stuff. It's all automated for you, and as well as give you the ability to add and update content easily. So, pretty cool. Check it out. We'll put a link in the show notes about this as well. I haven't personally given it a run through, but apparently there's plans down the road to include API integration for some reason. So, if you got some kind of nifty plans you want to do with a website that might, you know, need API integration, this will probably help you out because it automates it for you, which is cool. Well, eventually will. So anyway, yeah. It may be handy for those who are thinking about making a site that's compatible with both browsers.
Okay, next bit of in-game news, Curzon Dax. He's been very quiet for a bit on the old songwriting front, but if you go way, way, way back to our pilot episode, he actually did a tune about EVE Online is for Bob. You remember that?
Oh, of course. He's a long-time guy. And he was in the EVE Idol and all that other jazz, right?
Yeah, he had a big row with Croven for some reason, which I don't understand, but
I think it was over a girl.
Yeah. Croven likes girls?
I think he used to, and then that happened. Now he doesn't.
Yeah. Anyway. He saw your disco thorax playing YMCA and he could never go back.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it's a conversion machine, the Disco Thorax. Sprays gay all over you, turns you into, like, people like Krovan. Anyway, what's Curzon up to?
Sprays gay all over you. Explicit tag.
Oh, God. Anyway, thank God I'm not running for CSM. My God, I would have just lost the gay vote.
Curzon is partly hurting my ears by doing a new tune called I'm a Racketeer to the tune of Barbie Girl.
Oh, God.
Oh, God. But it is very funny, actually. It made me lol.
I haven't heard it, though. I'll say that much. But anything Barbie Girl related, I have to wonder about.
I'll tell you what we'll do here, Blinky. What I'll do is I'll put it as a lead-out tune.
For the record, this is Urban's idea.
Hey, the crappy intro was your idea, right?
That intro was not crappy. That was educational.
No, it sucked. If we had, like, video cameras and stuff and did a video like that and then put, like, silhouettes of us in it, then maybe it would make sense, but no. And Blinky, you're going, I swear I wasn't on drugs when I thought of this, and I don't believe you.
I don't do drugs, man. I'm sorry.
You're high on life.
I am high on life, exactly. But okay, so he's got a new thing out. That's interesting. He just recently sort of popped back to the game period, didn't he? I mean, he kind of did a whole, like, I'm back kind of post on the forums, which was quite... I was like, well, I didn't realize he kind of sauntered off elsewhere, but now he's back, which is cool.
Dax is back with a brand new invention.
Oh. So now you're a rapper?
He did that song as well, didn't he? And it got banned because it was quite rude.
Really? How so?
I don't remember, actually.
Ha ha! Bad, Curzon. Bad! But no, cool. The whole parody thing was quite amusing. So it's good to have him back in there doing his... fairly unique style of parody.
So yeah, thanks very much for coming back, Curzon, and thank you very much for letting us use your tune on our lead out. We need to like get him in sort of a bare knuckle fight with Suas, don't we?
Oh man, I don't know. Don't ruin the hands, man. This is like the moneymakers for these guys. Suas plays guitar. Curzon uses the mouse to remix himself into like the audio. I don't know. Anyway, yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, so I think that's about all we're doing for this week, really.
I have a little surprise for you.
Oh, is it a present?
Well, kind of. You have to promise me you can't say to anybody what it is, but we'll capture your reaction to this for the rest of the world. How's that sound?
Yeah.
All right, so here you go. Yeah, work in progress, obviously. Still putting the finishing touches on it. Still cleaning things up. Going to add a bunch of stuff to it, of course. But it's coming.
It's loading very, very slowly.
That's because very you live slowly. In the UK and your internet sucks.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, that's clever, that's cool.
Yes.
Yeah, and I like it a lot.
And coming soon. So it'll be changed. This is still pretty bare, but coming. And that's all we're going to say about it.
Yeah, that's cool. I'm sure the people would like that. Oh, you guys have got a treat in store for you.
Yes.
That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. You're very brave putting naked pictures of yourself up. You know that.
Oh, was I not supposed to? Snap. I better get that crap off my Flickr, like Tootsweet.
But anyway, that's enough of this for this week. With Blinky doing a remedial.
What?
Doing a remedial. Getting naked pictures of you posted online.
Doing a remedial? Oh my god.
So I'm imagining being doing as in having sex with a remedial.
Because that's what I thought you were getting at. I'm like, what? I don't remember that happening.
You were young, you needed the money.
Yeah. Everyone was drinking. Oh.
Well, you know what doing a spiral is, right?
No.
Posting something with your wrong character.
Ah, yes, that was good.
Or doing a Jade Constantine, which is doing a massively long post which doesn't get to the point ever.
Oh, Jade. I have a present coming for you this weekend, Jade. Anyway, secret. So anyway, is that all we have time for? Jeez.
That is all we got time for this week. Sad to say. If you don't see us for about 9 months, blame Rockstar, but we're planning to have more shows out soon, TM.
Yes, exactly. I'm sure it won't take up 100% of our time, so I'm sure we'll still be playing some EVE and doing some podcasty type goodness.
Yeah, right? Eating and going to work and things like that.
Yes, sleeping.
So thank you very much to everyone for listening. See you next week, guys.
Yep, fly safe-ish. Dot!
Hi, Dodias.
Hi, Curzon.
Want to go PvP?
No, I'm going to go reef some noobs in HiSec. I'm a Laymore thief. I like HiSec grief. Girls are from Venus, but I like penis. I'm a racketeer. That's a big fat queer. I'll leave a smoking wreck, but only if it's HiSec.
Come on, lamers, forum lamers.
I'm a Laymore thief. I like HiSec grief. Girls are from Venus, but I like penis. I'm a racketeer. That's a big fat queer. I'll leave a smoking wreck, but only if it's HiSec. We're a pure HiSec core, and we will go to war. We can sit in a station all day long.
I'm a young teenage boy, and I love to annoy, just as long as you're less than 1 month old.
We can smack, we can war deck, just as long as you don't fight back. Ooh-oh! I'm a Laymore thief. I like HiSec grief. Girls are from Venus, but I like penis. I'm a racketeer. That's a big fat queer. I'll leave a smoking wreck, but only if it's HiSec.
Come on, lamers, forum lamers. 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 Ooh, 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 ooh.
can run, you can hide, do whatever you please. Just don't shoot back at me, or I'll beg on my knees.
Come jump in, bimbo friend, let us do it again. Fly around, I'm a clown and I'll flame you.
You can mine, you can play, and I'll say you're such a dumb noob. You can mine, you can play, and I'll come and steal your dead can.
Come on, lamers, forum flamers. Come on, lamers, forum flamers. Come on, lamers, forum flamers. Come on, lamers, forum flamers.
I'm a lame or thief. I like high set Greek. Girls are from Venus, but I like penis. I'm a racketeer. That's a big fat queer. I'll leave a smoking wreck, but only if it's high sex. I'm a lame or thief. I like high set Greek. Girls are from Venus, but I like penis. I'm a racketeer. That's a big fat queer. I'll leave a smoking wreck, but only if it's high sex.
Come on, lamers, forum flamers. Come on, lamers, forum flamers. Come on, lamers, forum flamers. Forum flamers, kitty gamers.
Oh, I'm having so much fun!
Well, Dodie, we're just getting started.
Oh, I love griefing news!